Welcome to the deep dive. We've got quite a stack of sources here, really giving us a snapshot of the music industry right now. We're focusing specifically on, the very complex world of music rights and royalties as things stand in mid-2025.
Yeah, it's an incredibly dynamic landscape, maybe more than ever, actually. And our mission today really is to cut through all the noise, find those crucial nuggets, and get a real handle on the big shifts happening, how music's owned, how creators get paid.
Exactly. We're looking at some major artist moves, battles over work that made headlines, also the tricky side of tech like AI, and then some, brighter spots, global successes, and significant changes in financial rules legislation, stuff that's just happened or is being fought over right now.
Right. It's all about seeing how these different threads connect, how they're shaping things for artists, platforms, and ultimately for you listening.
Okay, so let's dive in. Maybe start with what feels like a really huge win for artist ownership recently. We're talking, of course, about Taylor Swift finally regaining control of her master recordings.
That wasn't just news. It felt like a real turning point. It was the culmination of that very public 6-year fight, right? And she finalized the deal, got ownership back for her first 6 studio albums.
And this was a massive catalog, wasn't it? Not just a couple of
So
songs.
definitely not small. The deal itself was valued at reportedly $360 million. But, the money, huge as it is only part of it. This came directly out of that whole situation starting in 2019 with Scooter Braun acquiring her masters, which she was very publicly against.
Right. So thinking beyond just her situation, what's the bigger ripple effect here? What does it signal to other artists, you think?
Well, I think the key thing is the precedent it sets. It's massive.
Yeah.
Successfully fighting for and actually getting back such a valuable catalog, especially after it was sold without her input. It's a really powerful, very visible example. It definitely gives other artists, maybe those stuck in tricky label deals, more leverage, or at least more courage to really push for their own ownership rights.
Yeah.
And just to understand the long game, the real value of owning those masters,
Yep.
it puts that whole artist control conversation front and center.
Yeah, that makes total sense. It resonates way beyond just one artist. Okay, let's shift gears a bit. Technology. It opens doors, obviously, but our sources are also flagging a major headache: AI and fraud messing with the streaming system.
Yeah, this is becoming a really serious threat. It affects the basic fairness of royalty payouts. We're talking platforms like Spotify, Apple Music, and it's not just theoretical. It's happening now, and it's costing real money.
How are they actually doing it? What are the mechanics behind this fraud?
It's often a mix of things. First, you've got AI-generated tracks, basically music cranked out by algorithms designed to sound, well, passable. Second, they combine that with bot farms. These are networks of automated accounts, fake listeners, essentially.
Ah, okay. So they flood the platforms with these like fake songs and then use bots to rack up millions of fake streams to make them look popular.
That's exactly it. And by doing that, they siphon off millions, literally millions of dollars every year from the global royalty pool, money that should be going to, actual artists based on real people listening to their music.
Ugh, that's incredibly frustrating, just diverting money like that. But I heard there's another layer to this, a really damaging side effect for artists who aren't even involved.
Yes, and this is where it gets really messy and frankly unfair. The platforms, they're trying to fight this, right? They use automated systems to spot weird streaming patterns. But these systems aren't perfect. They can generate false positives. So you get innocent indie artists, maybe someone just getting traction organically, or maybe their fans just listen in an unusual way. They can get their legitimate songs flagged,
Yeah.
penalized, sometimes even pulled down completely because the system suspects manipulation, even if the artist did absolutely nothing wrong. It's like collateral damage.
Wow. Getting your music taken down when you did nothing? That's devastating for an independent artist.
Okay, let's pivot to something more positive from the sources. A bit of a regional success story, this one focusing on Canadian artists and streaming.
Yeah, this is definitely a bright spot. It shows how streaming can really work for artists globally. Canadian artists have seen some really strong growth on Spotify. In 2024, they collectively earned almost 460 million Canadian dollars in royalties just from that one platform.
Almost half a billion Canadian? Was that an increase on the year before? It was, yeah. Represents a solid 5% jump from their 2023 earnings.
And the really interesting part of that number is where the listeners were coming from, right? There was a surprising detail there.
That's what's truly remarkable, I think.
Okay.
It really highlights the global reach. A stunning 92%, 92 of those royalties earned by Canadian artists
came from listeners outside of Canada. Hmm. So it's not just Canadians listening to Canadian music. Streaming is taking it literally all over the world.
92%. That really drives home how streaming can just erase borders for artists. Fantastic. Okay, let's talk about money and rules. Some recent financial and legal changes affecting royalties, starting with new tax regulations.
Right. So these new tax rules, they actually kicked in right at the beginning of this year, January 1st, 2025, and they have a direct impact on how music royalties and also the assets related to them are taxed.
Okay. What are the main changes people need to know about for artists, for their income?
Well, one key change affects mechanical royalty rates. That's the payment when a song is, you know, reproduced physically, like on a CD or vinyl or even certain digital downloads. The minimum rate for that has gone up to 12.7 cents per song. And there's also a new alternative rate based on the track length, 2.45 cents per minute. So updating those payout structures.
Gotcha. Updated rates for reproductions. But wasn't there also something important for the whole music catalog market? You know, buying and selling rights, which is huge now.
Exactly. That's a big one. For artists or investors selling music catalogs, these deals can now qualify for a 20% capital gains tax rate.
Okay, and why is that a good thing? Qualifying for capital gains tax, how does that help compared to, say, normal income tax?
Well, basically, capital gains tax rates are usually much lower than the rates for ordinary income. Ordinary income tax can be quite high depending on your overall income. So treating these big catalog sales as capital gains means potentially a much better tax outcome. It helps the sellers, who are often artists or their estates, and also the buyers, like investment funds.
Hmm. So it sounds like these tax changes are maybe trying to add some clarity, perhaps even incentivize things a bit in the music rights market.
That seems to be the goal, yeah, to kind of formalize the tax side and maybe make it work better for both the ongoing royalty earnings and this booming market for catalog deals.
All right, let's shift location now. Our sources also pointed to some major infrastructure developments over in the United Arab Emirates, specifically aimed at helping music rights holders there.
Yes, this is actually a really significant development for the Middle East and North Africa region, the MENA region. The UAE government has given the green light to launch a brand new initiative focused specifically on managing music rights.
And what's this initiative called? What exactly will it do?
It's called Music Nation. And it's set up as a collective management organization, a CMO. You can think of a CMO as like a central body that handles licensing for music use on behalf of a whole lot of creators. Then it collects the royalties from radio stations, venues, digital services, etc., and distributes them back to the rights holders.
Right. And the scale they're talking about for the CMO sounds pretty ambitious.
It really is. Music Nation is being set up to collect royalties for over 2 million creators. Songwriters, composers, artists, just establishing this kind of collective body is a huge foundational piece for building a proper performance rights system across the MENA region, which, you know, historically hasn't had systems as developed as, say, Europe or North America.
And that region's music market is already seeing pretty strong growth, isn't it?
Absolutely. The MENA region had really impressive music revenue growth last year, up 22.8%. So putting this kind of collection infrastructure in place now is, well, it's timely. It's needed to support that growth and make sure the money flows back to the creators.
Makes sense. Okay, finally, let's bring it back closer to home, the U.S. specifically. There's ongoing legislative action around a really old debate. Radio royalties.
Yeah, this is an issue that just keeps coming back, and for good reason, many argue. Our sources indicate a bipartisan group of lawmakers, so support from both sides, is really pushing hard for a specific law to finally address this.
And what's the law called? What's the core change it wants to make regarding traditional radio?
The bill is the American Music Fairness Act, or AMFA. And its main goal, its core purpose, is simple. Make AM and FM radio stations pay performance royalties directly to artists and the sound recording owners when they play their music.
Wait a second. You're saying traditional radio stations, they don't currently pay the artists when they play their songs. How does that work?
Okay, yeah. This is the crux of the whole loophole argument, and it's a really important distinction in copyright. AM FM radio in the U.S. does pay royalties, but primarily just for the song composition. Mm-hmm. So the money goes to the songwriters and their publishers. However, they are not currently required by law to pay a separate royalty for the sound recording itself. Mm-hmm. That royalty would go to the recording artist and usually the record label. This is totally different from digital broadcasters. Think satellite radio, internet streaming services. They do have to pay both sides, the composition and the sound recording performance royalty.
Ah, I see. So AMFA is trying to make traditional AM/FM radio operate under the same rules as digital services, at least when it comes to paying the performer and label for the actual recording being played.
That's exactly the goal. The argument is to bring the US system in line with, honestly, most of the rest of the world, where terrestrial radio does pay for broadcasting the sound recording. Proponents say it's just fundamental fairness. If you broadcast someone's specific performance, they should be compensated for that performance.
That difference between the song itself, the composition, and the specific recording, that's really key to understanding this whole fight.
It absolutely is. And it just highlights, again, how complex music rights are and how there are always these ongoing efforts to update the rules for, a media world that's constantly changing.
Wow. Well, that was quite a journey through the music royalty world as it looks in mid-2025. We touched on artists like Taylor Swift taking back control, the real challenges of AI and fraud, just in the financial side with taxes, global efforts like Music Nation in the UAE, and these long-standing legislative debates like the American Music Fairness Act trying to update old rules.
It's abundantly clear the industry isn't just, reacting passively. It's being actively reshaped by individual artist choices, by tech pressures, by financial innovation, and definitely by these legislative pushes on various fronts. The whole system, how music's owned, how it gets out there, how creators get paid, it's definitely in a state of flux.
It really makes you think about how the fundamental value of music is being constantly renegotiated, doesn't it, on every single level?
It does. And maybe that's the final thought to leave you with after this deep dive. Considering this rapid pace of change we've discussed, artists demanding control, new AI threats, tax law updates, new international bodies, debates over rules from decades ago, how might that core relationship, the one between the creator, the platforms distributing the music, and you, the listener, how might that need to evolve even more? To make sure that creating music stays, sustainable and fair for everyone involved in the years ahead, what part does each piece play in that future?